Paul is teaching this morning, the whole body is to minister by the Spirit. The whole body is to minister by the Spirit. That is, of course, the Holy Spirit, and that is the key to it, isn't it? It is ministering by the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit leads, as He anoints, directs, and so forth. That is the key. That is why the church, the assembly, is a powerhouse. Because it is the Holy Spirit who's directing, guiding, leading, anointing. And none of you in this church are ever made to feel, and God forbid if you do, because that's why we're teaching this to change it, that none of you are ever made in this assembly to feel that you are worthless, no good, Holy Spirit will never use you. On the contrary, we are ever encouraging, we are ever presenting to you the opportunities as a gift set in this body where you can minister, where you can encourage, edify, where you can glorify the Lord. And you again hear this come out in the teaching, I trust. But the whole body is to minister by the Spirit, and we are all called to discipleship. And there is no difference, as you've been taught over the years, between this clergy and laity that denominations teach. For we indeed are all called as a royal priesthood. We're all called in which to come as those priests to offer up sacrifice, to minister as the priesthood indeed is to do so and did under the Old Testament. Now, of course, I know I've said this before, I'll say it again. Each ministry, each gift has its function. And we're to know what our function, our calling is to be in the body of Christ. And we're to seek God on that. And we're to wait on God for that. And so forth. And this is important, that there's no difference between this clergy and this laity mentality, this idea. We've got to get this out of our thinking, because at times this still goes on, you see. You see, God isn't looking for those to serve or work in some religious organization. You know, again, man has invented all that idea. He doesn't want you working in some religious organization, but that each is to become this full-time disciple of Christ. There's no difference between doing full-time religious work, part-time religious work, or no religious work. That is the invention of man, comes out of his soul. It's soulish, it's carnal. You cannot get that out of Bible, particularly the New Testament. We're told that at Jerusalem, the apostles stayed behind in Jerusalem, and the people went out, and they witnessed. They shared the good news. They moved alongside. They were used wherever the Holy Spirit led them, guided them. That's what we see. And yet today, you know, the church is called today to evangelize. And so you can go along the lessons and classes to be evangelists. And so it goes on. Or you can go for classes to be a prophet. Or you can go to classes to whatever. There's a class for everything today. Seminars. Man's missed it. They do not understand that we're called to be disciples. And a disciple will minister wherever God places him or her. And the key to this is the anointing of the Spirit. And that is what sorts this out. A lot of what you are seeing is not anointed. Is not of the Holy Ghost. And that is why today you have got to discern. You've got to test the spirits. And that is why God is sending deliverance in your life. That is why he sets you under a word like this, so that you will be able to test this in the light of Scripture, in the light of the Holy Spirit, and what is within your life. And I'm going to tell you something, when you start being learning, and when you take this one seriously, when you desire this, to be able to discern and test the Spirit, that is when you are going to start to see the powers of darkness rising up to oppose you. That is where your persecution is going to come. You mark my words. All the while Satan can deceive you and cover your eyes from all this religiousness, you're no threat. But the moment you begin to test the spirits and you war against those spirits that work, then persecution comes. Does, you mark my words. And that is what God is doing in this church. And this is only going to come as we learn to function as a body. Why do I say that? Because it's about soldiers. It's about comradeship. It's about bonding. I'm using worldly terms there, but they're things that you would hear if you join the army. Because we stand together united in this. That is why we're to pray. That is why we're to ask the church to pray. That is why we're to pray if God is using us to get so that the church can be a prayer over these things, which gives the power to break the yoke of bondage and sin. But you have got to learn to test the spirits. Is this of God or isn't it? Is this a work of the Holy Spirit or isn't it? That is the point. That is the point. And so we're called as disciples, and wherever we are called, whatever our situation, there we are to minister. There we are to glorify the Lord. So you are called into a full-time service. Not part-time, or whatever it would be, full-time. We're to minister where we are, and where he places us. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and look at verses 17 to 24. You're to live where you are. How you're called. Do you know your calling on your life? Do you know what you're called for? You're called to be a disciple. If anybody asks what you are, yes, I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I follow him and him alone. See, people can't argue with that one. That is such a profound statement. That is Bible when you say that. You see? And I'll tell you what else that does. That's like a sword that comes right down on denominationalism and exposes it. Does. Absolutely every time. You might get some stick for saying such a statement, but praise God, that'll make you even bolder. Did you know that when you're opposed, do you know that actually what causes you to wax bolder? Does. Right, let's read what it says here. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him or her walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. In other words, he's going to the root of this because he's talking to Jews again. And really, you have to be a Jew to understand this. He's saying, well, you're circumcised or you're not circumcised. We're talking about the calling. That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter whether you were or you weren't. There's something far bigger than this. You see, this is what Paul is really saying. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Obedience. is what matters. That's what he says. Let each of you remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. So he says here quite clearly, whether you're a slave or you're not, it doesn't matter, God will still use you as a slave. If you can get free, praise God. Because God doesn't like slavery. Slavery is wrong. And let me tell you that slavery still goes on today. It's still going on. But whatever your circumstances, whatever your state, whatever you are in, there remain when you are saved and called. And I just want to say this in passing, that also applies to those if they are saved and they are in a relationship where they have been married, divorced, remarried, whatever. God still says, remain in that situation unless God shows otherwise. Because we've had cases where people, okay, I'm now living in adultery, I've got to end all of this and go and so forth. And marriage situations are not that easy. But you stay there, you remain until God says and moves in that situation. That is the principle. And because we have seen lives, Christians, wrecked because they've impulsively moved out or re-divorced again or try to get back to the first husband or wife in which they are then married, they've got children and so forth, and you have to wait on God. There's the principle there. Okay? For he, and he may get saved in prison. But there you stay. There you serve your sentence until you are free. You know, God may, in his mercy, could work through and say, okay, I'll shorten your sentence or whatever it is. But the point I'm making is, wherever God meets you at that point, there you remain in that situation until the Holy Ghost does differently. Okay? Are we clear on that? For he who is called in the Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's freedom. Likewise, he who is called while free by Christ is slave. So whatever your situation, whether slave or whatever it is, you're still free in Christ. For as the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. You were brought at a price. Do not become a slave of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. So he says, you've been brought with a freedom. So he says, if you're free, don't think it's Christian or pious that you now start to become a slave. Well, I'd better become a slave now that I'm Christian. After all, that will look more Christian, you know, and if I have some hardship and I'm really treated bad, that will look so spiritual. Rubbish. That's just being religious. Stay where you are. And if you're in a situation where you are free, you are blessed, well, praise God, glorify him through that. If you are saved in a situation where the marriage is in a turmoil, or you've got rebellious children, you wish you could get out of it, whatever, God says, remain in that. Don't run away. Or if you get saved in prison, wish I was out of here. You stay there to serve your sentence. Why? Because God is showing a deeper principle that he sets you free in your heart from your sins, from the past and so forth. Paul, of course, there is speaking about the joy of salvation, the new birth. But what is he saying there? He's saying, remain where you are. There's no difference between clergy and laity, being a professional Christian or an amateur. These are all understandings of men, how he thinks, you see. You are called to full-time Christian work, witness, everything you do unto the Lord. Your work is unto the Lord. Your whole life is unto the Lord. Why? Because it's Romans 12. You present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. You place yourself on the altar. The whole of yourself is for the glory of God. And that is a full-time thing, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and so on. So that is what he's simply meaning there. So the question then we raise is, what am I to do? What are we to do? Well, let me give you some thoughts about this, what you are to do. To witness. That's what he calls us to be. He doesn't call you to evangelize. Few are called to evangelize. They're part of the fivefold ministry. But you are called to witness. You're called to minister. God wants to use you to minister to other people. And that may be on a practical level. It can also be ministering over the sick, or whatever it would be. You're called to pray. We're called to pray, to intercede, to supplicate. Your life must be a life of prayer. You're called to fast at times as the Spirit leads. To stand in the gap if you see a situation where God wants to use you. You're called to serve your neighbor. Maybe just going round, knocking on the door just to see that that person or that elderly person, elderly lady or man, they're just all right. That, everything's fine with them. You will be amazed how God, through the Holy Spirit, can use you if you want to be. It's having that right heart, that right attitude. It's having the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we're called to serve our neighbor. We're called to walk by faith. Oh yes, that's what God's working with you. He's getting you not to trust anymore in man, the arm of the flesh. To stop trusting in the financiers. To stop trusting in those that can give you temporary relief. Because that's all it ever will be. He's getting us to walk by faith and to trust him and to seek the kingdom of God. That's going to take all the time. That's an everyday walk. The crucifixion of the self-life, it's that taking up that cross. Yes, where the cross is going to work. Yes, when the boss gives you good telling off or does the dirty on you and God says just die to it. Or whatever it will be. That's all going to happen. And if it hasn't happened, it will. I can guarantee it. Yes, it's that surrendering up of the self-life. Being an example. Find your place and calling in the body of Christ, and there you function. Well, your calling is certainly here today. And believe our calling is always when the body meets. That is God's desire, that we come together. That is our calling. And you know when the body meets, whether it's a prayer, whether it's for a meeting or a meeting like this today, I know where I'm called for. I know where I'm to be at that particular time. Because that's where God wants me, under his headship. So that he can work in me. So it's finding that place, that function in the assembly. We're all called to full-time ministry now. Amen? Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's not one of us God's going to let off the hook. Well, I'm not much good. I'm no good at talking. What can I do? Well, if you feel like that, then you're the right person. You're the right person, because then God can do it through you. You're not going to take all that glory. You're not going to be proud. But God can work through you. But let me just give you something to think about in passing, that what God will call you to do is not what often you will want to do. That's what makes it God. There are a few laughing at that, because they know exactly what I'm saying. Very often, when you make yourself available, God's working in you to bring you to that place, to show you that he wants to work something through you, but he's got to work the cross so that you'll surrender to it. because it's not what you will want. And when you don't want it, and often like that, and you're battling and so forth, that is often a clear sign that's the Holy Spirit working. You see? Jonah didn't want to go and prophesy to Nineveh. And so what does he do? Gets on the next boat that's going off somewhere. See, he didn't want to do it. But God had decreed he was going to go there, you see? And in the end, he was only too pleased to go after spending 3 days and nights in the fish's belly. He was only too pleased to obey God and to do it. And that's what God is doing with us. It's what he's doing with you. To work that ministry in you. You see? Then it is all of God. It's all of him. So we're called to full-time ministry now. You see, it's impossible to be a Christian and not be set by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. I don't believe that you can be a Christian unless you're in prison or your circumstances. So listen to what I'm saying. That if you are a Christian, sooner or later, if you are truly born again, there is something within you that wants to be set in the body of Christ to function and minister. That is what Christianity is about. Don't believe me? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Because Paul speaks of this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleases. What does it set mean? God has set each Christian, filled with the Spirit, he has set them in the body to minister. In other words, you are baptized into the body. Verse 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. So when you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, that baptismal experience is there in the Holy Spirit to set you into the body of Christ, into that local assembly there to minister and function. Now you may say to me, yes, but what about if I get saved and I'm in prison? Yes, I've already said about it. There you remain in your calling. Yes, you are saved. But when God frees you from your circumstances, that isn't the end of it. He's then going to place you, baptize you into a local assembly. There you're to function. For all I know, he could even start it in prison. He could start saying two or three others. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of thee. So they could start sharing, fellowshipping even in prison. You can't limit God, but the point I am making is that you cannot call yourself a Christian and remain on the fence and not be identified with your brothers and sisters under the banner and headship of Christ, sitting under that anointed word. Sooner or later, something within you has got to have that. If you're truly born again, and certainly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've met these people, I've been around in churches, you know, but I'm a Christian and God knows my heart, and I'll go where God wants me to go and everything. You just hear that independent spirit speaking. You know full well they're not going to submit to the Holy Spirit. I then have to raise that question, well, are they really born again? Do they really know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if they do, they're going to get a revelation and understanding of his body. And there's something within them wants to be used. The days of being independently used, which ministers have done in the past, and just gone from body to body, just ministering, you know, as they feel free to do so. Those days have ended. That is not the ministry God is going to call and is using for today. Not certainly to anoint for the last days. They will come out of an assembly where they are identified to, where the Holy Spirit has been working with them, perfecting them, bringing them under the doctrine and the teaching and the prayers of the saints of the church and so forth. That is what God is raising now. Amen. And preparing. It's called the body of Christ. Little wonder why Satan has so hindered and tried to divide the church over the centuries. You can see his tactics. You see exactly what he's trying to do. But it's impossible in my economy to be Christian and not set by the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. And some can criticize me and say you're very harsh, but sooner or later, if you are a Christian, something within you has got to be part of the body of Christ. Amen? I believe it. It's there. And so we have these charismatic gifts to minister to each other. Verse 7, which he says here, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profit of all. So there we are. It's profitable. Those gifts, those supernatural gifts, are to minister, are profitable for the building and edifying of the body of Christ. Each member fulfills a function and a purpose that only that particular member can perform. You have a function, you have a filling, you have a gift or gifts that only you and you alone can function for that purpose. No one else can do it, not even the pastor. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have something that I cannot fulfill. You have something that the person you sit next to cannot fulfill. That is why you are unique in God's sight.
That's right.
And that is why you are filled with the Spirit for that very purpose. Do you see what I'm trying to get over to you? When you begin to see that, you'll begin to see that you are important. Your attendance is important. Your contribution to this body is important. This is building the unity and oneness of this assembly. Because that is where the power line is. That is where Satan tries to divide. And my, I've seen him try to divide in this church over the years. Anything here used to try and divide. You see. But only you can fulfill a need, a function, a purpose that your brother and sister cannot do. Might be similar, but you are the one. You are the one that God says, today I wish to use. And it could be anything that lines up, of course, with the Word of God. You know, he says in verse 22, and those members of the body which think to be less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour, and our unprecedentable parts have greater modesty. So there we are. So our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. So those that appear outwardly not to say or do much, in a sense have greater honour, greater importance. I've often thought of that. And maybe it's a point to think about. They're the ones that on rare occasions can be used in the most profound way. That's probably why. I don't know, it's just food for thought. So none of us are exempt in this. Every one of us is encouraged to minister as the Spirit leads. And if we're to move on for the next thing that that God has for this church, and I believe we're now facing another plateau. God is challenging us. It's not just certain individuals getting onto the next plateau, my trial, my thing. We're now having to consider this church. We're now having to consider in the light of what I'm going through, or my tests, my trials, yes, affects this church as well. You see, we're having to consider the body of Christ. This is growing up now. This is building. This is moving on from our everyday trials and tests that we go through. Yes, they're real, I'm not saying they're not. But God is presenting something bigger, greater. He's trying to get you now to become supportive. He's now trying to get you to bear some burdens. And not being a burden. That is the point, you see. And that is why the whole body is built up in this way. Again, I remind you of what Ephesians 4:16 says in this, as we now bring it to its conclusion. Ephesians 4, verse 16. Actually, we'll take it from verse 17. He's spoken about the gifts he sets into the church, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But sometimes we tend to forget these two verses, 17 and 18, in the context of that. And it says this, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in their futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." So he says that we should no longer walk like the Gentiles, like sinners, in other words, like in ignorance, in the carnalness of their mind, but having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, in ignorance, because of their blindness of their heart. He says that's not how we're to walk. Now listen what it says in verse 16. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." There you are. You are setting this body like a body with its joints, its sinews, everything about it, you are set together that you supply, you bring life to the body of Christ. An ear, eye, arm, leg, whatever it is that is needful to keep the life, the function of this body. Are you understanding this? And if you just move in this, just trust the Lord in this, obey God in this, you're going to begin to experience that you're that arm. You're going to experience that you're that eye, that toe, that leg, that arm, or whatever. You will begin to function in that way. If you just look at your arm, you look from your elbow to your arm, to your wrist, to your fingers, just in that 18 inches, look at the different functions that are taking place, just in that, let alone the whole human body, the complexity of it, and that's you. functioning in that way. You see? It is so important for us to understand this, as Paul is saying here to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying, don't be ignorant like the Gentiles in this. That's why it goes on in verse 17 and 18, right in the context of gifts said in the church ministry. He says, don't be ignorant like that world out there, like the denominational churches. They're carnal. He says, I don't want you like that. I want you to experience your function, your call, your gift. And he says that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizing you into his body. And there they work, you see. Now, maybe the light's just coming on for some. Maybe the light's coming on after all these years. God knows. He knows where we are. But what I'm saying is, for us as a body to move on to the next thing, we've got to experience this. We have to move in this. And that is why he's no longer going to let us rely on certain people, certain ministers, whatever it is. It's not to say that we don't help or encourage, but the point I'm saying is those days of relying upon ministry so that this will get me into the kingdom of God, sorry, but those days are over. They're not. God isn't going to have that because he wants to make you responsible. We've now got to grow up and mature into this. And God is speaking to the young people, not just to the old. They have a place, a function. They should be encouraged as well in all of this, you see. And I believe that as we get this right, God's way, I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but I think we should begin to see more souls added to the church. There will come a day and an hour when this room is not big enough. The church is getting in a state. A lot of them see a lot what I say. There will be a lot today. Charismatics will be nodding, saying amen. But the problem is that unless the cross is there in the life of believers, this can't function. Because self will always get in the way. Self will be the problem. Self is the problem of the true body of Christ being built. That is why God's dealing with yourself. That is why some of our lives are shipwreck. We made an absolute mess. And God has allowed it. It's what he does often when you've got in your core. Your life is a mess. Unedifying. Dreadful. Appalling. Bow your head in shame. But the point is, you're going to remain in that state? No. Because God says, I'm the master builder. Right. Now I'll build you up. You yield over to me. And I will make a witness out of you. A witness that is without guile. That's what I long to hear in my life. A man without guile. How God's going to do it, it will be a miracle. But that's one of the desires of my heart. So, praise God, he's building. It's up to you. It's what you want. I've done nothing but encourage you this morning. I know it's meat. I know at times it can be hard to swallow. But we have done nothing but encourage you. Your potential that you have in Christ for these last days. And I will say categorically, only a fool would deny this, would ignore this. When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls you from the foundation to serve him for these last days, what a privilege. Hallelujah. Father, thank you again this morning. Lord, help us to be obedient to this. Help us to be sensitive. Maybe we're going to have to take this as a church to pray. Maybe all night prayer sessions with fastings. Lord, I don't know, but let us not deceive ourselves, Father. Please Deliver us from that. Let us be all responsible. Father, help us to begin to see that I'm here to serve. I'm here to function. I am a full-time disciple of Christ. Lord, we thank you that this can change right where we are, this very moment, this very second, where we sit in our seat. It's the desire of our heart, is what we want. And so, Lord, I thank you for this today. I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you that you have set healing and deliverance in this meeting, and that we go away changed people to when we come. And Lord, I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us till we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.